Part 2, In the Holy Land. Section 7. Lua arrives in the Holy Land. Lua remained with her family long enough to prove to them beyond a shadow of a doubt that, incredible as her announcement appeared, it was indeed the truth. Lua cited proof after proof from both the Old and New Testaments. She showed them prophecies in these holy books which demonstrated clearly that Baha'u'llah was undoubtedly the return of Christ. He was the Son, returned in the glory of the Father. Lua reminded her mother of those years immediately after her birth, when Christians all over the world had awaited the appearance of Christ. For 1844 was the year of the greatest expectancy. This very year, Lua told them, was the year of the beginning of the Baha'i Faith. In moments like these, Lua's face would be transformed. She was like a visitor from another kingdom. She was but 23 years old when she became a follower of Baha'u'llah. She never seemed to age. Her spirit was a flame of youth, always burning with the same brilliant light. In the words of Juliet Thompson, one of Lua's dearest friends, "She always seemed to me to have flown down out of the nowhere of the sky and lit on earth for just a little while for the sole purpose of heralding her Lord." Lua's long pent-up eloquence now had a channel for release. She became aflame with the message of Baha'u'llah. Lua set out on her teaching journeys, traveling from coast to coast in America. These were but a prelude to the visits she would make to the continents of the earth, never setting down her burden until the last hours of her life. No wonder Lua was ablaze. Her entire life had been a preparation for this hour. She had been recreated. During her travels, her glowing spirit set many other souls on fire with the same enthusiasm. She attracted Jews, Christians, Muslims, even skeptics and atheists to this universal religion. Among those she taught, some were to become the most famous of the early heroes and heroines of the Baha'i Faith. On one of her journeys, Lua helped the wife of a famous American senator to embrace the faith. Phoebe Hearst shared Lua's enthusiasm. Lua kindled a great desire in Mrs. Hearst to go to the Holy Land and meet Abdul Baha. They all longed to visit the scene where the wonders had taken place and see them with their own eyes. What a bounty and privilege it would be to walk in those places where Baha'u'llah walked, to go to the prison city of Acca, that sacred spot spoken of in Scripture by the prophet Hosea, who said it would be given to man as a door of hope. Above all, they would be able to see and talk with Baha'u'llah's eldest son, Abdul Baha, who had shared his father's exile and imprisonment for 40 years. Abdul Baha was alive. He could be seen. He still lived in that same prison city and was loved by all. He was known as the Master, a title given him by his father. They would be able to hear from his own lips the answers to their questions. He would tell them how they could best serve God in this day. They would see and talk with the person to whom Baha'u'llah said all mankind should turn if they sought truth and guidance. It would be a holy pilgrimage. No sacrifice would be too great. They made plans to leave as soon as possible. We can only imagine the excitement Luah experienced during those days of preparation. Several other Baha'is were invited to join them. In Paris, a few more were added to the party. Among them was the illustrious May Nee Ellis Bowles Maxwell, whom Luah herself had won over to the faith. Luah's husband, Edward Getzinger, also accompanied the party. In Egypt, a few others joined the group. Finally, the pilgrims numbered 15. Because of the danger that still surrounded Abdu'l-Bahá as a prisoner and an exile, they arrived gradually in three successive parties. Luah was in the very first group. She reached the prison city on the 10th of December, 1898.